Thanks, Dan. Like Dan and Wendy said, my name is Nate. I'm here with my wife, Sam. Next Saturday, we actually celebrate our 5th anniversary, which we're... a little bit about myself. I was going to go right into it, and then driving here, I was like, I think I should probably introduce myself, because you guys don't know me. My name's Nate. I grew up as a pastor's kid in a little place called Elliott Lake, which if you don't know where that is, if you know where Sudbury and Sault Ste. Marie is up in the Arctic, it's exactly 2 hours in between, and it used to be the retirement capital of Canada. So I had a lot of friends when I was there. From there, I went to Tyndale University. I'm a Wesleyan, but I did not go to Kingswood. I went to Tyndale, and I studied a Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies and Theology there. I met my wife in my second year, although we didn't really talk to each other. She was dating someone else, and I was respecting that. In our fourth year, we started chatting, and it took me a whole year to convince her to date me. But it worked. In 2019, we got married. In 2018, we both started at Tyndale Seminary, Sam in her MDiv in clinical counseling, which she then switched in 2023, she switched into a Master's of Arts in Clinical Counseling at Tyndale Seminary. And I started off as an MDiv student in Pastoral Studies and then switched over during COVID because I got tired of school to a Master's of Theological Studies, which was a three-year program. For the last few years, last three, 4 years, I've been at Sunnyside Wesleyan doing spiritual formation and youth ministry there. That's enough of me. I believe we have a video that I'd like played right now, if that's good. My favorite one from this video is that little girl who, while she's explaining, the kid's just like, no, I'm going to just eat the marshmallow. I don't even care. This is what's called the marshmallow experiment. When the video came on, I heard someone behind me go, oh, I've seen this video before. It was actually an experiment that was done in 1970 by Dr. Walter Mischel, who was at Stanford University, and Ebe Ebenson, who is one of his graduate students, and it was to see the importance of delayed gratification. It's been repeated, as you can see in that video, that's not a video from 1970. It's been repeated a few times over the years to look at specific different things. As Dan noted this morning, in the church calendar, it's Pentecost Sunday, which is the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit, as Stacy read in Acts. After that, we see the apostles bringing in the early church, and fast forward, we're here today. Typically, when we get to kind of a Pentecost passage and that theme, we really emphasize on the coming of the Holy Spirit. And to kind of put it in the perspective of this video, it's sort of like the marshmallow, right? The Holy Spirit is like the marshmallow, and we're all just waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in our lives and all that sort of stuff. But today, I want to talk about what happens when we wait. Okay? What happens when we wait? You see, because there's two really crucial, important things in the passage that was read this morning. We tend to focus on the marshmallow. We tend to focus on the coming of the Holy Spirit. But there's something that happens before. Let's look at that passage again. Acts 1, 4 to 5, and 2, 1 to 2, reading from the New Living Translation. It says, once when he, Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place suddenly. Then there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. You'll notice the things in brackets. I forgot to edit those out. That's because I copied and pasted. Those are footnotes. But there's something really important here that we tend to glance over. We tend to skip to the marshmallow. We tend to skip right to kind of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes. It's the fact that Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem. In some translations, it says, wait. In fact, in the English Standard Translation, it says, he ordered them not to depart. You see, what's going on here is the fact that the disciples, after Jesus ascends to heaven, are kind of left standing there. And Jesus wants to make sure that they know, guys, don't go back to your lives. Peter, don't go back and be a fisherman. Matthew, don't go back and be a tax collector. Philip, don't go back and become a zealot. Don't go back to your lives, but wait. In fact, that kind of, in our heads, when we're reading, it's just going to the next chapter, right? Chapter 1, da-da-da-da-da-da, chapter 2, right? They're on the next page, maybe, or maybe on the same page. But in fact, it is a 10-day wait that happens here. The disciples are in Jerusalem waiting for 10 days going, what's going to happen? This guy who we thought the Messiah, he's gone. But he told us to wait, so we're just going to wait here. It says that they gathered on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 1:3, Jesus appeared to his disciples over 40 days after his resurrection. And Pentecost, which has become kind of a Christian tradition, was actually a festival in the Jewish faith. Pentecost comes from the Greek word 50th, and it came 50 days after the Passover. And so this is what's going on here. And 10 days might not seem long, but when you're waiting for something to happen, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm waiting for something to happen and a minute feels like an hour. And I don't know what happened in those 10 days. I don't know what happened while the disciples were waiting, but I can venture to guess that those 10 days probably felt like a year to them. Going, what's going to happen? And in fact, all throughout Scripture, we see this theme of waiting. You see, we see with Noah, it's believed that he waited 100 years for the flood to come. And he was building the ark 100 years. And take this into perspective. This was a time when rain wasn't a thing. Rain hadn't fallen on the earth. And so Noah's going, I'm trusting you, God, but I have no idea what this rain thing is. And probably everybody's looking at him, laughing at him. When I was a kid, like I said, I grew up in the church. So like a good pastor's kid, I grew up listening to Adventures in Odyssey. Who listened to Adventures in Odyssey? Yeah, a few of you. And there's this thing in Adventures in Odyssey called the Imagination Station. It's kind of like the holodeck from Star Trek, if you don't know what that is. That's sad. You should go watch Star Trek and listen to Adventures in Odyssey. And it just immerses people into an experience. And so there's this episode on Noah. And it has Noah building the temple. And everybody's looking at him, laughing at him, and pointing at him, and calling him names, and going, what are you doing? What's this? A boat? What's a boat? What is that? Because boats didn't They weren't really a thing. Noah waited 100 years for the flood to come. And then when the flood came, he waited 40 days. Just floating around in his 100-year-old boat. As we continue throughout Scripture, we see Abraham waited 24 years for the promise of his son to come. Now, the story of Abraham is really interesting because Abraham is an example of what happens when you don't wait. You see, Abraham is promised by God in Genesis 12, I believe it is, that he's going to have descendants like the stars in the sky. And Abraham goes, "But I got no kids, God." And God goes, "No, wait though. Wait." And what Abraham does is, if you've read this story, he sleeps with his wife's maid. And they have a child named Ishmael. And he goes, "Well, this Ishmael is going to be my son. That's where the descendants, like the stars, are going to come from." And God goes, no. That's not it. You kind of took it into your own hands. And it's through Sarah, his wife, that he has his son Isaac. And the example of what happens when we don't wait, we see that even today, because Ishmael was first promised the promised land. And then it's given to Isaac, his son. And if you track it throughout history and throughout Scripture, we see that Ishmael is the father of the Arabs and Isaac the father of the Jews, who still to this day, in this very moment, are fighting over Israel. Abraham is a good example of what happens when we don't wait, when we don't listen to God. Going throughout Scripture, we continue and we see that David waited 15 to 16 years, it's believed, after he was anointed to be king. He had to wait 15 to 16 years to become the actual king. And throughout those years, we read Psalms that are based on those years. We can read 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings about his journey through that waiting and the things he learned in that waiting. Israel waited 430 years. 430 years in slavery to Egypt. And then 40 years roaming around in the desert with Moses and Joshua before they could enter into the promised land. And I forget what the 70 years was for. Sorry, guys. There you go. Thanks, Dan. When they were in captivity to Babylon, they were 70 years in captivity going, no, we're God's promised people, but we're stuck here. What's going on? And we see in that famous verse in Jeremiah, "For I know I have the plans for you." What God is talking about there is he's talking about, just wait, guys. Just wait. Live your lives and wait for what I'm about to do. And then we see in Ezra and Zephaniah and Zechariah the coming back into the promised land. That page flip from the Old Testament to the New Testament, which for us is literally just a page flip, it's like nothing. That's about a 400 year plus gap where there's silence. There's no prophets writing anything. There's nothing. It's just silence. It's just waiting. And then we come to Jesus. It's believed that Jesus waited 34 to 36 years before he started his ministry. For he started going around Galilee preaching the good news of the kingdom. And then another 3 years roaming around the countryside with 12 guys who really didn't get anything he was saying before he went to the cross, died, and resurrected. And so all throughout Scripture, we see this theme of waiting, of God calling his people to wait. You see, because here's the thing, the journey is as important as the end result. Jesus, with his disciples for those 3 years, takes them on a journey, traveling with them, teaching them things, inviting them into not just waiting, but journeying with him. You see, it's sort of like Lord of the Rings. There's this theory, it's a fan theory, that when they're in, has everybody read Lord of the Rings or watched it? Spoilers if you haven't, it's been out. The books have been out for a really long time. The movies, I think, are just celebrating like their 20th anniversary. So if you've never seen it, go watch it, because it's amazing. But spoilers, there's this part where they're in the Mines of Moria, and Gandalf is kind of on the cliff there, and he goes, "Die, you fools!" Right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. And there's this fan theory that he's not saying, like, run. What he's saying is, get the eagles, the giant eagles, to come and fly you to Mordor so that you can just drop the ring in the Mountain of Doom, and it'll be fixed. But here's the thing. If that was the case, we wouldn't have the whole journey. We wouldn't have the waiting. You wouldn't see Boromir's redemption at the end of the Fellowship. You wouldn't see Legolas and Gimli develop a relationship between elves and dwarves that no one ever thought in that universe would exist, but they become best friends. You wouldn't see Gimli best Legolas 46 to 42. If you watch the extended editions, you know what I'm referring to. If you haven't, go watch the extended editions. You wouldn't see Aragorn be crowned king. You wouldn't see Gollum become the hero that we never thought he would be. You wouldn't see Gandalf return, and you wouldn't see the development of all of those characters, because it was the journey that was important, not just the ring being dropped into the Mount of Doom. Sam and I have been on a journey since January. January, I was notified at the church that I was working at that my contract wouldn't be renewed in June, just a month from now. And Sam and I entered into a journey of waiting, of anticipating, God, what are you doing? What's going to come next? Here's the thing. It's great that God brought us to this church. I think it's awesome. We're really excited to become part of the Cornerstone family. I'm really excited to be ministering to your youth and your young adults, and to join you in your journeys with Jesus. But we waited from January till about, what, a month ago? Is when Dan sat down with me in a cafe and said, it was really funny how he did it. He said, "I feel like we've been on a dating relationship." And we're going to talk about the stuff that you did at youth, and my mind is going, where is he going with this? And the first thought was, oh no, I didn't get the job. And he goes, "I feel like we've been on a dating relationship, and in a dating relationship, you know, you go on a couple dates," which we've kind of done, we've had conversations, and you get to a point where you go, "Do I want this?" I'm going, "Please say you want this." He goes, in his amazing Welsh accent, "We want this." And I looked at him and I went, "I want you guys too." But it was the journey and the waiting before that, not just that point, that was so important. Because here's the thing that happened. In that waiting, God started to do incredible things in Sam and I. We both individually and together dug into our relationships with God. We both individually and together dug into our relationship with each other. Sam began spending every moment in prayer. I learned the importance of silence with God. You see, because the journey is just as important. Eugene Peterson, who passed away in 2018, puts it like this: it's a long obedience in the same direction. It's simply just being present with Jesus in those moments and listening to him and waiting with him. There's this really cool story of Mother Teresa when she was being interviewed in one of these interviews on a news channel. And the news person is sitting across from her, and he's like, "I've got Mother Teresa in the room, one of in seen by most people as one of the most holy people in our age." And he says to her, "So when you pray, what do?" And he's probably thinking she's going to have this like mind-blowing Mother Teresa, going to change all of our lives statement. And she says, "I just sit there." And he's a little shocked. If you've watched the video, if you ever watched the video, he's like, "What do I do here? What do I do here?" You know, and his probably his producers in the background going, "Figure something out, figure something out." And he goes, Well, what does God say to you then?" She looks at him and very calmly in her Mother Teresa way says, "He just sits there. And I look at him and he looks at me. And we are present together in the waiting." Another really cool story of this 18th century farmer who every day was in, every morning, he would go to his local church and just sit in the pews. And one day the local pastor, after months of seeing this farmer just sitting in the pew, just sitting there doing nothing else, he goes up to this farmer and says, "What are you doing here every morning?" And the farmer looks at him and he says, "I look at him, he looks at me, and we are happy." Sometimes we get uncomfortable in the waiting, don't we? Sometimes we want the marshmallow. We're like those kids in that room going, "Oh, I just really want it. Really want it." But where is he calling us to wait? Where is God telling us to wait? And what is he calling us to do in the waiting? And in that, what is he doing in the waiting? Because the waiting is just as important as the marshmallow. The journey is just as important. If Jesus didn't have those 3 years with the disciples, we wouldn't see the transformation that happened in Peter from Acts 1 to Acts 2, the man who doubted to the man who got up and preached and probably one of the greatest sermons ever, and 400 people dropped to their knees and gave their lives to Christ. If Noah hadn't waited, what would have happened? If Abraham wouldn't waited, well, we see what happened. If David didn't wait, what would have happened? If you weren't waiting, what's going to happen? I don't know what happened in those 10 days between the time when Jesus ascended to heaven and said, "Wait in Jerusalem," and the time when the disciples came. We don't get that. But I bet you anything, something did happen. for all 12 of them. I think Jesus did some incredible things because when the Holy Spirit came, they knew exactly what to do. Where is he calling you to wait? And what is he doing while you are waiting? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning that we can gather and celebrate you and celebrate the coming of your Spirit into the lives of the church. And Father, I don't know all the stories or the journeys in this room, but you do. You know exactly what you are calling each and every individual in here to wait in, for, with. Father, I pray that you would give us eyes to see you and ears that are attentive to your voice and hearts to receive you. I pray that in those moments of waiting, when it is difficult, when it is hard, we will lean closer into you rather than trying to press the fast forward button. Father, may we sit and look at you and you look at us, and may we be happy. I pray this all in your name. Amen.